أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat. For the love of the great grandmother of the Imam of our time, the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, recite the second one even louder.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Inshallah, even each and every one of us will become a true companion and soldier for the beloved Imam of our time. Recite the third one even louder.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali.
We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this opportunity to be amongst the brothers and sisters here in Dearborn, Michigan. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us all over the course of these few nights that we're together to be able to absorb a bit of the light of the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha. What we have decided to talk about is to discuss the Lady Fatima al-Zahra as the secret to human perfection. And tonight we want to talk about certain things, certain aspects of the qualities that exist within the personality of Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha. Before I get to the specific qualities of this noble lady, what we need to discuss and what we need to say is that to even absorb and to even understand the personality of any of the ma'sumeen, especially the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, is not something that someone like myself or any of us can even do. There is no way, brothers and sisters, that any of us in any way can truly understand the depth of the personality of Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, or any of the ma'sumeen. There's a mistake that is committed many times by us, by the believers, by the mu'mineen, and that is to compare the ma'sumeen to ourselves. We are a human being, and we consider the Ahlul Bayt to be human beings, as they are. But we think they are as human as we are, or the same as we are. And then sometimes we go to the extent of saying some of the things that we hear or read with regards to the ma'sumeen, salamullah alayhim, ajma'een, is or are exaggerations. Part of the reason behind that is that we compare the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim, ajma'een, to ourselves. This is not correct. كَيْفَ أَصِفُ حُسْنَ ثَنَائِكُمْ As we have in Ziyarat Jama'a Kabira. Ziyarat Jama'a Kabira is one of those ziyarat that, brothers and sisters, we have to recite at least every now and then. if we don't get to go for ziyarat in the shrines of the ma'sumin, recite this ziyarah in the presence of the imams, in the presence of the Ahlul Bayt, hopefully with the help provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we get to go to Medina. And in Masjid al-Nabi, towards the Holy Prophet himself, towards Baqi'ah, we're able to recite this ziyarah. And hopefully, inshallah, in the near future, in circumstances where they don't prevent us from reciting this ziyarah by the graves of the A'imma in Baqi'ah. A few years ago, I had the chance of being in Medina. We'd gone for Hajj. And one night I was trying to recite this ziyarah towards Baqi'ah. There was no one. I wasn't doing it for a group. I wasn't doing it for anyone. Just in a small corner, I was trying to recite this ziyarah. Even as just one person standing there trying to perform this ziyarah, one of their religious police came and prevented me from doing that. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows the Muslim ummah to breathe with the absence of these tyrants in that region. In this ziyarah, we have certain descriptions of the Ahlul Bayt that are difficult to understand. And because we make that comparison between ourselves and the Ahlul Bayt, and we see this is too much for a human being because we don't have anything like that, we consider them exaggerations. They're not exaggerations. They're not even sufficient, actually, in trying to describe to us the Ahlul Bayt. Understanding even what those words are is very difficult. One of the ulama, may Allah prolong his life, gave a very good example to just, in a very simple example, explain to us how different the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in, are. This story is with regards to the lady Fatimah al-Zahra herself. Recite a salawat for her. One of the titles that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi has given this lady is the title Ummu Abiha. I think most of us, if not all of us, have heard this title, Ummu Abiha. The meaning of the word is, for those who didn't understand the meaning of it, the mother of her father. The mother of her father. Again, thinking of how sometimes we exaggerate as a father, loving his daughter, coming up with certain titles or descriptions that are exaggerations. How can a daughter be the mother of her father? So we think that, oh, this is just an expression of love. The Holy Prophet is simply just expressing his love. However, when you look at the context of where and when this is said, and also the personality of the Holy Prophet, he doesn't exaggerate. He's not that type of a person. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Whatever he says is wahy, whatever he says is 100% accurate and true. He can't be saying that without it having a certain meaning that's just beyond a simple expression of love and affection towards his daughter. This is said by the Holy Prophet after the demise of the lady Khadija, the wife of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi. We know that in Mecca, the Holy Prophet had two people that gave him support that others, at least in Mecca, were not able to. One of them is Abu Talib. May Allah bless his soul. The father of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And the other is the lady Khadija, salamullah alayha, the first lady to accept Islam. The troubles and difficulties that the Holy Prophet went through in Mecca are beyond our imagination. And one of the reasons why these difficulties and hardships of the Holy Prophet are beyond our imaginations is because we have not dealt with leading, or we have not had the experience of leading a community, especially that which is newborn. If you have the responsibility, brothers and sisters, of leading an entire community, a community that the society at large is at odds with and is fighting and is killing the members of, every turn of the way you have difficulties, your people are being killed, tortured. You're being sanctioned. We truly don't feel the meaning of that. Maybe a father to an extent, or a mother to an extent, when they're dealing with their children and the difficulties in life, sometimes feel that responsibility of having or being responsible for other people. Side another salawat, please. It's fine. It's very difficult, brothers and sisters. It's very difficult. I took a group of Hausa students from Qom. We went together. Brothers are helping. We went to Karbala and Najaf, went to Iraq. We had women and children with us. It's about 2 busfuls, less than 100 people. 80 something, maybe, maximum. And at those difficult circumstances by the border, when they're checking the passports, children are crying, everybody's tired, people are asking what to do. One small mistake in the decision making creates huge problems. And everybody's depending on you when there's so much pressure. And this is not even comparable. You get a glimpse of what it means to be responsible for people. The Holy Prophet ﷺ is leading a revolution that changes the dynamics of the globe from then on all the way to today. It's a serious task. And there are serious challenges the Holy Prophet is facing. With all those responsibilities, the people that are around the Holy Prophet, having people that give him support, is something which is very, very, very much helpful and soothing. When the wife of the Holy Prophet, Khadija salamullah alayha, was alive, she was one of those individuals that provided that support. But when she passed away, that support was gone. And in a short time, the Holy Prophet lost also Abu Talib. The two passed away very close to one another in terms of time. The Holy Prophet lost all of that support almost all at once. How old is the lady Fatima al-Zahra? She's either around 8 or 10 or 11 or 12, because there's different opinions with regards to the age and how long she lived. Some say she was 18 when she passed away. There's also the age 20 and also 25. So depending on that, around a year or a few months before the migration of the Holy Prophet to Medina, which is around 8, 9, maybe 12, 13. Imagine a girl at that age, what they would be thinking of, what type of thought process they would have, what worries they would have. To imagine that a girl of that age, which should be playing, who should be playing around and being involved with the childish activities that they should be, and also being troubled by the difficulties that they are going through, she went through the experience of Shi'bu Abi Talib as well, she should have been one of those who is complaining seriously to her father about the circumstances they're in. But the maturity that she shows, the support she gives as an 8 or 9 year old, brothers and sisters, to her father, is the cause of the Holy Prophet calling her Ummu Abiha. I'm not sure if we're getting the personality and the quality and what it is that the Lady Fatimatu Zahra Salamullah Alayha has, and it's just simply not something that can be explained based on human norms. In those circumstances, with all those difficulties, this 8 or 9 year old girl, instead of being worried about playing, about her childish games, complaining about the difficulties, she gives such support to her father that replaces the support that her mother and her father's uncle was giving to the Holy Prophet, which is why the Holy Prophet says, Ummu Abiha. We can't understand, and this is still, brothers and sisters, what I just explained, is still something which is apparent and visible, observable, of the qualities and the personalities of the Ahlul Bayt. What is not even seen is beyond imagination. So we have to be careful with that. When we talk about the Ahlul Bayt, when we're trying to understand the Ahlul Bayt, we have to realize our deficiency in being able to comprehend that, to understand that. But there's certain things that we can see, there's certain things that we can observe, we can acknowledge, and those which we can see are great lessons for us. We have to take them, we have to learn from them. What I want to take from the personality of the Lady Fatimatu Zahra Salamullah Alayha that we can take from, we can learn lessons from, are three tonight. And hopefully I ask Amirul Mu'mineen Salamullah Alayhi to give us the tawfiq to be able to understand and thoroughly explain these three. And these three qualities that we want to go over are very much in line with the theme, or the reason why we have picked these three. There's various dimensions, but we have picked these three is because these three are key and fundamental for human perfection. But we're looking at the Lady Fatimatu Zahra tonight as an individual. We're not looking at her social life. We're not looking at her life in the family as a wife, as a mother. We're not looking at that. We're looking at her simply as an individual, regardless of gender, again. The first quality I want to talk about briefly is her worship, ibadah. There are a couple of stories we have in history of this beloved lady with regards to ibadah that give us just a glimpse of this dimension in her life. I haven't seen thorough descriptions of these qualities that we find of the Lady Fatima al-Zahra. But we get now and then in historic passages, we find bits and pieces of this information. One of them is said by Hassan al-Basri. Hassan al-Basri, amongst the Shi'i, is not known to be too great of a person. Although he's okay, he's not one of the enemies, but he's not revered very much. He is someone that Ahlus Sunnah consider as a very pious individual, a worshipper, an abid, a mystic. He has said, now what his sources are, I'm not sure, but this is what he has said. It's been attributed to him. That the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, used to worship, brothers and sisters, in the standing position. Usually when we worship, if we worship, we have trouble doing the wajib salat, we have trouble doing the wajib fast. When the dua carries just a bit too long, we get tired and frustrated. When is this going to get over? And when we want to do some of these worships, we try to do it the easiest way. Okay. Have you ever tried doing dua kumail in the standing position? Have you ever tried doing dua Abu Hamza al-Thumali in the standing position? If you think dua kumail is long, look at dua Abu Hamza al-Thumali. Look how many pages that is in the Mafatih. That's twice or maybe even thrice the length of dua al-Kumail. That's a very beautiful dua. I remember one of the ulama was saying that years ago, 40 years ago, I believe, if I remember the timing correctly, said when you go to the haram of Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi, in the middle of the night, you would have Hawza students standing in their qunut, in the last rak'ah, of the night prayer, Salatul Witr, reciting Dua Abu Hamza al-Thumali. Now you go there, you're not going to find anybody doing that, unfortunately. But, or I don't think, maybe, I didn't come across anybody like that. Doing du'as, worships, in the standing position, you start getting tired. It's not something which is easy to do. Hassan al-Basri says that the Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha used to perform worships in the standing position to the extent that her feet and her calves would be swollen. Okay. That's how long she would be standing in the worships. I don't know, but I never heard such ulama that talked about doing dua Abu Hamza al-Thumali in the standing position that their feet would be swollen afterwards. I don't know how long you have to stand in worship without changing your position for your feet to start swelling. This is how much ibadah the Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha used to do. One other passage in history with regards to ibadah of the Lady Fatima al-Zahra is the famous narration with regards to this, the tasbihat that we do after the prayer, which is not, it's not limited to after the prayer, brother, by the way, brothers and sisters. There's nothing that suggests that this is only to say after the wajib prayers. The hadith says that the lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, after she got married, she got busy with housework and she started having children. Obviously, mothers know this. You barely have time for anything. She went to the Holy Prophet and said, "Ya Abatah, I'm not able to perform the worships I used to. I can't. I have the responsibilities of a wife and a mother. I'm not finding the time. Can you give me something that would replace all those prayers? Can you give me something that can take their place? I can do instead of them. I can't do them. If you can please give me something, prescribe something that can take their place." And the Holy Prophet gives her this. What do I want to get from this one, from this passage of history, this story? I want to use a hadith, and we'll see if this is a great example of it or not. It says that if you want to go, according to that hadith, if you want to get anywhere in spirituality, you have to be of those that عَشِقَ الْعِبَادَةِ, okay, loves worship. Okay. There's a difference between somebody that worships and somebody that loves to worship. If you love to worship, you're not even going to realize that your feet have swollen. You're so into it. Others have to tell you. They came to Imam Sajjad and they complained about all the blisters and all the marks he had on his forehead because of the sujoods. When he's in the sajda, he's not realizing that this is what's happening to his forehead. The lady Fatima al-Zahra had so much love for the worship of God that when she wasn't able to, because of the responsibilities, which of course those responsibilities are worship as well, but as they call it in fiqh, al-ibadah bima'naha al-khas, okay, the very particular meaning of ibadah and worship, prayers. She has so much love for it, when she can't do it, she needs something to replace that. And she's going and asking her father for this, the Holy Prophet for this. One of the most important secrets to human perfection, brothers and sisters, is ibadah, spirituality, connection with Allah, spending time with the Divine in the middle of the night, during the day, different times, putting aside some time for that. This is one quality that we see in the Lady Fatima al-Zahra that we truly have to learn from. Try to get as much as we can from that. The second quality that briefly we'd like to go over is the quality of zuhd. Detachment from the dunya, from this material world. Being detached from the glamour of this dunya is something that the Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha has, and it's very important for us to understand this about her as an individual, because later on we're going to come back to this. She was not one bit attached to this dunya. There are various stories we have in history. One of the stories is with regards to the necklace that she had. She gave away in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They asked, they needed some money, they needed funds. They sent to her house. The only thing she had was a necklace. She took it off and she gave it away. Didn't even think twice about that. When the community was in need, when there was need to spend money, a woman who was not making money, she's got this necklace from God knows who gave it to her as a gift. Even she participates. That's another point. I don't want to get into that, but I just want to give us this reminder. Unfortunately, a lot of times when the community, for various reasons, is in need of support, people have to come together and support the cause as a community. People are not willing to spend. Lady Fatima al-Zahra, the only thing she had was a necklace, she gave it away. Without even thinking twice. Another example is in the Holy Quran, the verses that were recited at the beginning. We know of the story of Hasanain salamullah alayhima being ill. A nadr, a pledge was made to fast for 3 consecutive days. When they started fasting, every day somebody came and asked for food. And we know the story, they gave the food away, the food they had. But what's more interesting, I find, with regards to the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, is that she's the one that during the day, when they're all fasting, she's the one that prepares the oven, prepares the dough, bakes the bread. And then when they come to ask for the food, she's the first to give. If you haven't baked the bread, it's just maybe you're fasting, you're hungry, all that's there. But this is an additional point. If you haven't baked the bread, maybe giving it away is slightly easier. She's the first that gives the bread that she has and encourages others, according to some accounts, to give what she has. Giving, not being attached to the material life, material world. Brothers and sisters, this is also something that we are seriously in need of in this filthy material world, especially in this country, that everything is about materialism. Success is defined by material means. Recite a salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
I didn't define human perfection, and that itself requires a number of sessions, but very briefly, if I may, according to the Holy Quran, according to the Ahadith, human perfection is the proximity of the divine, being in the proximity of the divine. في مقعد صدق عند مليك مقتدر. It's human perfection. What that means, why is that considered human perfection? That's a long story. But what I want to say that's related to this concept of zuhd is this. We have hadith. Says, if you want to taste the flavor of iman, closeness to the divine, if you see people that have that spiritual touch, when they speak to God, tears are seen, they start to flow, and I don't have it. The hadith says, if you have one bit of love for this dunya, you're not going to have that flavor of iman and faith. The amount is that is said in the hadith is habbatu khardal, okay, the grain or the seed of a mustard seed. It's a very, very, very small amount. We have to learn that lesson from the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha. That's the second quality. The third quality that is extremely important for us to take from the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, is the quality of knowledge, or having knowledge, ilm. This is something that I think has not been spoken of too much. And also maybe the way lessons can be taken from this are not understood as well as, or the way they should be. Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha is one of the greatest scholars that we have had throughout time. There's a narration, a historic report, that says the women in Medina used to come to the Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha, and they used to have discussions and questions, Q&A sessions as we would call them today. And sometimes they would carry on. And they would come back again, asking follow-up questions. And sometimes they would feel bad because they're taking so much of her time and they're troubling her, keep coming and asking and coming and asking. And so the account says that they came to her on one of those occasions that they continuously were asking for I don't know how many days. One of the ladies came over to her and said, "We really apologize. We're really giving you trouble here with all these questions and discussions and so on and so forth." She said, "Not at all." She said, "Not at all." She said, "Have you seen how happy, if a mother had lost or loses her child, how much fear and how much pain does she go through? And then when she suddenly finds her child, what's the feeling she gets?" Now obviously mothers are truly going to understand that. And she's talking to mothers, to women. She says, "When you come and ask these questions and I'm able to answer your questions, that's the feeling I get. So don't worry about me getting tired of this or not liking this." Or no, not at all. So there were sessions she would teach, Q&A sessions, discussions. Another passage of history with regards to this knowledge of the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, which is, of course, it has to do with aspects of her character and personality that are beyond our imagination, is a book that the Ahlul Bayt have with them, the Imam of our time has currently with him. We have a number of hadith on this. It is called Mus'hafu Fatima. Okay. It is knowledge that is gathered, that this knowledge came to the Lady Fatima al-Zahra. Now the reason why I say that this is a dimension of her life that we cannot really comprehend and understand correctly and appropriately is because these jewels of knowledge were given to her by angels. This is why she's referred to as Muhaddatha. She was spoken to by angels, which talks about or is getting into the spiritual dimension of the Lady Fatima al-Zahra. But I don't want to deal with the spiritual side of things. I want to talk about the knowledge. Okay, this knowledge that had come to this lady, Fatima al-Zahra, she would say it and Amir al-Mu'mineen would write it down. This became Mus'haf Fatima, salamullah alayha. These were only a couple of examples that we have in history, and there are probably many more that you can find. What it comes down to, what it boils down to, is the deep knowledge that the Lady Fatima al-Zahra has. Not simply memorization. This is also something that we need to all learn from, brothers and sisters. First of all, this knowledge that the Lady Fatima al-Zahra had was knowledge of the deen, of the religion. Understanding Allah, understanding the Creator, understanding the relationship we have with the Creator, understanding ourselves, understanding death, understanding the hereafter, understanding what needs to be done, what my practical obligations are, and so on and so forth. This is the knowledge that the Lady Fatima al-Zahra has. I don't want to say that other knowledge is bad or wrong. No, all that's great. That needs to be done as well. We can have other sessions talking about that. But what we're trying to stress on is the knowledge of the deen, of the religion. This is an extremely important element in human perfection. If you learn all the sciences but don't know a knowledge of the deen, we're not going to get to human perfection. You can make a nuclear bomb, but you'll destroy humanity with it. Okay. Human perfection will come through knowledge of these important dimensions of the universe. The belief system that we have is understanding. That's what the belief system is. It's understanding the universe, how it came about, how it still is, how things are conducted, who's really in charge, and so on and so forth. So understanding that knowledge of the deen, number one. Secondly, depth, brothers and sisters, depth, not memorization. Not just hearing something. Understanding, thinking, processing it. When you look at the khutbah of the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, that is known by in some circles as al-khutbah al-fadakiyyah, the one she gave in the masjid when they deprived her of the right to her own land that the Holy Prophet gave her, Fadak. What she gives us in that khutbah is very, very deep. It shows that she hasn't just heard some words and memorized some phrases and sentences and now is giving us those sentences. No. Very deep knowledge. It has a lot of depth to it. Really understanding, comprehending. One question that may come with regards to this is that the Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayhi got all of this through the divine. God provided it for her. What does that have to do with us? We can't get knowledge in that way. She got it in a sense, the easy way. It was given to her. It was granted to her. Now this is, again, something which is deserving of discussion, and we don't want to spend that time there, but the personality that the Lady Fatima al-Zahra had, the capacity she had, the existential capacity that the Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha had, was such that she was able to receive knowledge in that way. Okay. She was able to receive it in that way with all that depth and breadth. Okay. It wasn't just depth. It was in various areas and arenas as well. Her capacity was to that extent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided it to her in that way. But what we can take from that is that having that knowledge to whatever extent we can is important. Now, if I don't have the capacity to receive it in that way, I have to use my means of receiving that knowledge. We've got to read. We've got to think. Don't just read. Study. Think. Reflect. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ تَدَبُّر. Not just reading the Qur'an. Reading it, but not just reading it. Reflecting upon it. We have to spend time on this, brothers and sisters. We have to spend time to learn this knowledge of the religion. And this, again, as we mentioned before as well, is one of the very important keys to human perfection. We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us develop all three qualities in ourselves to the best of our ability, to the best of our capacity, and not go anywhere short of that, inshallah.